ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After a short victory lap in Iowa, former President Trump appearing in New York City court for the second defamation trial against him. ABC's Aaron Katursky is outside the courthouse and said Trump is appealing the jury's verdict last May that awarded author E. Jean Carroll $5 million after finding him liable for sexual assault.
The judge has already determined that the defamation and the sexual assault occurred, so the only issue at this trial is whether and how much Trump might have to pay E. Jean Carroll for defaming her on other occasions.
GOP candidate Ron DeSantis coming in second against Trump in Iowa, Nikki Haley third, Vivek Ramaswamy and Asa Hutchinson both dropped out. Snow, ice, and bitter cold bearing down on states from the Midwest to the Northeast, leading to more flight cancellations. House lawmakers postponing a vote on funding bills today. The Senate set to hold votes on the short-term fix before Friday's government shutdown deadline. This is ABC News. John Kerry at the World Economic Forum's annual meeting in Davos, Switzerland, discussing his changing role in the Biden administration.
John Kerry says he isn't retiring from his climate role, but shifting to support the Biden campaign. And regardless of who wins, he believes his global agenda will remain solid.
You wound up with a different president who's opposed to climate crisis. I got news for you. No one politician anywhere in the world can undo what is happening now. The marketplace is doing this.
But the growing pushback is evident in places like the Netherlands and Germany. Farmers there have had enough of World Economic Forum decrees. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
Changes coming to some retailers. After a wave of customer complaints, some shops are changing their policies in the self-checkout line. Customers demanding more human interaction. So now many stores are boosting their staff to make sure shoppers can see an actual cashier. One survey found after the pandemic, self-checkouts accounted for 30% of all transactions. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Jackson Hewitt has a plan to get your tax refund fast. With a buck, buck here, buck, buck there. Here, buck, there, buck, everywhere, buck, buck.
You don't have to wait weeks for your tax refund. Get money sooner with a no-fee refund advance loan at Jackson Hewitt.
On this loan, there's a money-today guarantee. E-I-E-I-D-O.
Don't settle for chicken feed. Get fast bucks at Jackson Hewitt today. No-fee refund advance loans by Republic Bank offered to eligible clients. Money-today guarantee if approved for a loan on a prepaid card. Details at JacksonHewitt.com.
Wendy's new breakfast 2 for $3 Biggie Bundles let you create your own delicious combo. Choose from a sausage biscuit, egg and cheese biscuit, small seasoned potatoes, and a medium hot coffee. But it's obvious which combo's the best. Sausage biscuit and small seasoned potatoes. Well, maybe it's the fresh cracked egg and cheese biscuit with a medium hot coffee. Or two savory sausage biscuits. Whichever you pick, you can't go wrong. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's new 2 for $3 Biggie Bundles.
Limited time only. U.S. price and participation may vary. Not valid in a combo. Single item at regular.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. Three people are dead in Milwaukee from probable hypothermia deaths. Milwaukee County Medical Examiner's Office said Monday a 64-year-old man was found dead Friday under a bridge near the city's Mitchell Park domes. On Saturday, a 69-year-old man was found dead in a vehicle on Milwaukee's northwest side. And on Sunday, the body of a 40-year-old man was found on a heating mechanism near railroad tracks on the city's north side. Medical Examiner's Office says autopsies on the three were scheduled for yesterday and today. Six warming shelters. Job was lifted Monday morning, with access to U.S. Highway 18 resumed shortly after that. The order was put in place following a Sunday morning fire at the InSight FS Agricultural Building, which contained a large supply of propane and several varieties of pesticides. The sheriff's office says the shelter in place was a precautionary measure to ensure the public's safety. One day was the theme of Wisconsin's official salute to the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. The 43rd annual tribute to Dr. King's legacy of service was held Monday at the Capitol Rotunda in Madison. It's the oldest state celebration to the civil rights leader in the country. The guest speaker at the event was Reverend Marcus Allen of Madison's Mount Zion Baptist Church.
This is my charge to all who are listening today that now is the time for justice and equality.
Governor Tony Evers said on X that the day to honor Dr. King was an opportunity to consider the tireless fight for the equal rights of all people and reflect on how his legacy still lives on in Wisconsin. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Smart businesses advertise on local radio. Durand's WRDN, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Business owners, listen up. What's the one advertising method that doesn't cost your customers money? Radio. It's portable. It's in cars, offices, homes, and businesses, and free to your potential customers. Radio works. Ask our advertisers, and you'll want your business on Durand's WRDN Radio at 1430 AM and now at 107.3 FM. Call 672-8989 today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. The brutal cold continues to blast us with blustery winds whipping up to 25 miles per hour, dragging our wind chill values to near negative 25. As highs today struggle to get above zero, we do get to see more sunshine today. Just stay warm. If you owe back taxes, call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 2 degrees above.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Live con el Lobo Solo via Farm Journal Broadcasto, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll begin with a conversation with Paul Shadegg from Farmers National Company. Then it's Brett Waltz from BAM WX. Later, pro farmer policy OG Jim Wiesmeyer drops by for some caucus talk. And directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm a handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. Yes, welcome to AgriTalk, everyone. On this Tuesday that feels like a Monday, that wants to be a Tuesday, and wishes it was a Friday. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk in Chip's stead. He will be back tomorrow morning. Hey, how about don't worry about it? He'll be back in the morning. That's all you need to know. He'll be fine. Everything's okay. Tomorrow morning, the Farmer Forum will proceed. We got Senator Chuck Grassley. We got also, this is fine. In the meantime, we're going to concern ourselves with other things. There's a new report out from Farmers National Company. Looking back over the last 6 months, how did their biz do? What did they learn about the land market? And then it looks forward into 2024. You know, we're at that time of the year when all of the outlooks seem to include, oh, the rest of the year, what are we looking forward to here as we move into 2024? I mean, we're 16 days deep in this year, folks. There's a long way to go yet before we know exactly what's going to happen. Paul Shadegg from Farmers National Company is going to enlighten us with his thoughts on Farmers National's thoughts on what they're expecting in the land market moving ahead into the new year. And then it's whether you like it or not, we're going to talk with Brett Waltz. And I notice here in the city of fountains, which they turn the city, they turn the fountains off this time of year because I don't think ice makes very good fountains. I don't know. There's physics there that I don't necessarily understand, but here in Kansas City, we're at 2 degrees. We're headed for a high of a balmy 13 today. Finally, we creep out from the below zero number, and doggone it, it feels good to be here. But we'll talk with Brett Waltz as we're talking outlook in the land market. Let's also talk outlook near term and in the longer term. I mean, is it too soon to talk to Brett Waltz from BAM WX about spring planting weather? I don't know. Jim Wiesmeyer drops by in the fourth seg for a little talk about politics. We had the caucuses. I don't know what it means. I don't understand the caucuses or anything, but Jim does. And I actually have a few questions from some listeners here who were good enough to send me a couple of questions ahead of the show. Johnny on the spot this morning. And then, of course, Karen Bonert, if we can get to it. I need to get going here. Private exporters reported sales of 126,700 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico during the 23-24 marketing year. Feels like an opportunity buy there by a traditional buyer. In November, U.S. pork exports reached new records in key markets driven by outstanding performances in Mexico, Central America, and in Colombia, again with the traditional buyers there. And with that, we'll turn to the National Weather Service short-term outlook. Snow continues across the mid-Atlantic and Northeast. Additional freezing rain and elevation snowfall expected over the Pacific Northwest. Brief reprieve from the brutal cold after this morning. Although another Arctic blast expected late this week, we're going to talk with Brett about that and find out who's responsible. In the Iowa Republican caucuses, former President Donald Trump secured a significant victory, solidifying his front-runner status in the GOP primary for the 2024 presidential nomination. Entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy, who finished fourth in the Iowa caucuses, decided to suspend his campaign and was immediately has immediately endorsed former President Trump. We'll get more from Wiesmeyer at the end of the show this morning. Two-year Treasury yields tumbled to their lowest levels since May, dropping 24 basis points for the week as an unexpected decline in producer prices reversed trader pessimism from a surprise bounce in consumer prices. Congressional leaders want to vote this week on a stopgap funding bill that will provide spending authority extensions beyond previous deadlines. One part of the government's funding, including for USDA, would be extended until March 1st, while the remaining portion would receive an extension until March 8th. The agreement comes just before the first funding deadline of January 19, yada, 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 funding, whatever. An anti-ship ballistic missile fired by Houthi fighters struck the Gibraltar Eagle, a U.S.-owned cargo vessel off the coast of Yemen yesterday. The ship and its crew, which had been headed toward the Suez Canal, were not seriously harmed, according to the U.S. military. The Pentagon's Inspector General revealed that the Defense Department has not adequately tracked more than $1 billion worth of sensitive military equipment provided to Ukraine. This equipment includes shoulder-fired missiles, night vision goggles, one-way attack drones, and other items. The report raises concerns about the U.S.'s ability to prevent the theft or diversion of its weapons. South American crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier cut his Brazilian soybean and corn crop estimates amid reports from almost every state in Brazil of lower than expected yields on early harvested fields. For Argentina, Cordonier raised his soybean crop forecast and increased his corn production estimate 3 million metric tons. And finally, the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum has started in Davos, Switzerland. The event brings together representatives from 100 governments, major international organizations, and partner companies, along with civil society leaders, experts, youth activists, and social entrepreneurs. We'll have more as the week goes on. But in the meantime, let's turn our attention to Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. Karen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Davis. I'm good.
Excellent. Excellent. Talk to me about the truth behind Wisconsin and 455 dairy farms in 23.
Yeah, they're exiting, and sadly, but you know, Davis, the math is just not adding up. $15 milk's not cutting it. At the start of the new year, Wisconsin had just shy of 5,900 dairy farms. And to really put that in perspective, in 2005, they had 15,000, a little more than 15,000 herds. Wow. And a decade later than that, they had 9,900 herds. So the number is obviously dwindling, although the cow numbers have kind of held steady about 1.2 million. I was able to catch up with Chad Vincent, who's the CEO of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. And he told me a little information that I thought was very interesting. In March of 2020, just a tick ahead of COVID, they sent out a farm survey to the Wisconsin dairy farmers and to ask them, hey, what's your future plans? Are you planning on staying in the business? Do you have a succession plan in place? And at that time, 17% of all dairy farms in the state said that within 5 years, they would be not milking cows anymore. And that 22% of all the dairies under 100 head had planned to exit in the next 5 years. So really, in the next three to five years, he thinks, and I would agree that, you know, we're just going to continue to sadly see this trend continuing. 65% of those primary decision makers, Davis, on the farm were over 50 years old, and 15% were over 65.
Wow. Wow. Karen, we should definitely talk about this. This is concerning here. There's no succession plans. The young don't want to take over the operation, or is it just not profitable enough? You know what? We don't have time to answer that question. Where can we get more on this, Karen?
Yeah, dairyherd.com. It's a combination of factors, Davis.
Yep, dairyherd.com for more on that. Karen, thanks so much. Hey, have a great week.
You too. Thanks, Davis.
All right, we are underway here on AgriTalk. Let's see, we got Paul Shadegg from Farmers National coming up next. New report out, 2024 brings resilient ag land market. We'll see what Paul Shadegg makes of it here next on AgriTalk. Thanks so much for choosing to spend some time with us. AgriTalk.
When you're planting, having the right scale system on your bulk fill planter or drill pays for itself. Use Point from ScaleTech to verify proper seeding rates and make money-saving adjustments on the fly. Not to mention monitor your seed supply with pinpoint accuracy. You could guess, but why? Instead of checking your hoppers manually, keep your tractor moving and let Point do the work. Save time and money with Point. Visit ScaleTech.com to learn more.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trifold Herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trifold, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trifold worked. See for yourself at TrifoldInAction.com. Trifold is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
Space, the final frontier, where we are limited only by our imagination. Join us in Houston for Commodity Classic, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agricultural and educational event. New Frontiers in Agriculture, February 28th through March 2nd, 2024. Houston, we have no problem. Discover more at CommodityClassic.com.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
All right, well, it's unfair for the song to be playing now. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here. You know what? Here's the thing. I'm a little spacey today, planet Earth. I got to be honest with you. And I'm going to pull the veil back just slightly here. I work from home, so don't worry. None of you are in danger. And I think I'm past it, but my lovely wife tested positive for COVID just yesterday. We're a little sick around here. Bless her heart, she's much sicker than I am. But I do bring it up because the symptoms are just a little bit different. I think I had it like 2 weeks ago, but it acted more like a flu thing than like a respiratory thing for me. There's like, well, I'm not going to use these words on the air, but you know what I mean. It's like that there was a shift, and I didn't recognize it as COVID. I thought I just had like standard flu or something. Now she's got the same thing. She tests positive for COVID. So it's out there, folks. Just be careful. Let's remember to wash our hands. Let's be careful. Cough into your elbow. Do the vampire cough, that whole thing again, and try to keep yourselves well. Take some vitamins, whatever you need to do. All right, having said that, public service announcement ended. Paul Schadeg, Farmers National Company. Paul, thank you so much for joining us this morning. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, Davis. Good to hear your voice, but hey. I'm glad we're through the airwaves because I don't want COVID.
No, you certainly do not. No, I don't think anybody does. And it's still around there, and I thought I'd bring it up just because, you know, every once in a while you got to just a little reminder, let's not get complacent with the COVID. Hey, man, how was the holiday season? Do you – now, as a land guy, do you sort of expect this to be a quiet time of year right around the first of the year?
You know, we go through the end of the year is typically pretty busy because people are making some last minute selling, some last minute buying decisions. And, you know, the we're trying to accommodate either buyers or sellers to to get something done before year end. So it's a mad rush to the end of the year, and then somewhat a kind of a resetting as we get into the first of the year. But we also finish the year extremely strong as a company, and then the pipeline is full in January and going into February. So it hasn't been much of a lull, if any.
Okay. Well, and the reason we've brought you aboard today, we want to look into 2024. We want to talk about how your company has performed over the previous 6 months and your expectations here. You do have a new report called 2024 Brings Resilient Ag Land Market. I'm just going to read a little blurb here. Despite increasing pressure from declining commodity markets, rising interest rates, and inflation, the land market seems to be moving into 2024, maintaining the value increases it has built during the past 3 years. You mentioned that pipeline being fairly full. Paul, talk to us about the supply-demand scenario moving into 2024, please.
Yeah, it's just one thing. That's probably the biggest factor that is in play to keep those values maintained at the level that we've set over the past few years, where we've seen record increases in value. And, you know, that we start asking questions, why is that, and who are the buyers, and what's motivating them? And, you know, we're definitely seeing some cash positions in the country start to dwindle a little bit. And that's played a big part in how the buyers pay for the premium values that they've got out there, because they may, and the other factor is that lending is increasing. And so if they're borrowing against that land, the banks or financial institutions are only going to loan X amount. And then anything that you pay above that, you better have some cash or some equity to leverage. And we're still seeing that happen.
That comfortable cash position that we've been talking about that has sort of, I don't know what you'd call it. It's almost like the goose down in the sleeping bag. You know, it just makes you feel a little more comfortable, a little more able to go out and bid perhaps aggressively. Talk to us about where that cash came from and maybe why we can't replace it very quickly, Paul.
Well, a lot of the cash came from when we saw commodity markets rise so fast and be at the commodity markets were also experiencing some record levels. And the other side of it, I attribute to, you know, very well-educated, smart buyers out in the market, which when we talk about buyers, we're talking about farmer producers who, you know, they've had a conservative approach that when they had some great yields and that they were able to sell at some record values, they took a lot of that cash and stuck it away, call it the rainy day fund or just, you know, a lot of them been through some tough times and they realize that sooner or later you're going to need some of that cash. And then when the opportunity to buy land pops up, they've got the capital to apply towards it.
Absolutely. So when we talk about who are these buyers, I think I saw a number with an 8 on it, about 80% still farmer operators. Is that right?
Yeah. And those are our company numbers are right at 80%. You know, it'll vary sometimes just a little bit below that. But when we look at the industry as a whole, we're still in the 70s as, you know, those are the successful buyers of land. Now, they are absolutely being pushed along by an investor type, the funds, whoever else that, you know, non-typical type buyer would be. And then we have to think, you know, what's their motivation? And there's some other investment vehicles that maybe could produce a return similar to what farmland does. But when they look at that long-term appreciation and land value, there's a lot of the investors that have realized that, you know, that's a good place to put your money and divest a portfolio. And so it definitely is, they're definitely going to push those local farmer operators. But right now the farmer operators are still the number one successful buyer in most transactions.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about the current value of these land assets, it's difficult to find a better investment outside of the land market, of course. But given interest rates, given some uncertainty ongoing at the Fed here, there are some who are actually opting to retain ownership. In some ways, hands are tightening around some certain pieces of land, aren't they?
Yeah, they certainly are. They feel that that is somewhat of a safe haven, that they feel like the ownership of land, when they look back in history, and if they're able to get a return on it year over year, even though that might not equal what a certain stock might be, mm-hmm. when they look at the long-term appreciation, and I used to use this analogy with individuals that were new to the land market, you know, 25 years ago, they said, well, what is this going to be worth? Will my investment in this land ever go to zero? And I said, I'm pretty confident it will never go to zero. And if it does, at least you can go out and still kick it, you know,
yeah.
where
right.
if you had a stock, it's just vaporized. So
that's excellent. Excellent. So let's do look into 2024. You said the pipeline's been filling up, both land auctions and listings. Pretty typical volume to start the new year here. But what do you do? What's your focus moving into 2024 here, Paul?
You know, we definitely want to help, whether they're a buyer or a seller that we're working with. We want them to have realistic expectations on what's that land going to cost and what's that land going to bring. And while we have traditionally, especially when we get into Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, eastern Nebraska, areas like that, auctions have been traditionally the way that land is transacted. And there are some that we need to maybe have them step back and say, you know, this might be one, if you have a piece of land that maybe has a couple issues, or they're expecting a record value that maybe isn't going to happen if we bring it to auction, that let's list it. And that gives us the opportunity to negotiate with multiple buyers and reach the goal. And so that's a big part of what I see coming. We're probably going to see fewer auctions and more listings just because of that. But when you have a high quality piece of ground and you know that the demand in that area, or there's going to be competitive demand in those areas, that auction is still the best way to determine that true market value, because yeah. it's exposed and the bidders place their bids based on what they think that should bring in that day.
Hmm. Well, Paul, the land market does tend to move quite a bit more slowly than, you know, for example, equities or something like that. And so it takes a more calculated approach here. I did want to talk about some of your 5-year company stats, but I don't know if we're going to have time here. Before we run out of time, how can a buyer or a seller get more information from Farmers National, Paul?
You know, they can always find us at farmersnational.com and find either the corporate person they'd like to talk to or the individual regional person they'd like to talk to.
Paul Shadegg from Farmers National Company. Dude, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning, for helping us get our hands around what's coming up in the land market. Have a great day, buddy.
Thanks, Davis. You too.
That was Paul Shadegg from Farmers National Company. When we come back, we're going to talk with Brett Waltz about the weather. We're going to figure out how long this cold snap is going to hang around. I'm hoping it's on its way out today, but we'll find out. AgriTalk.
Lower crop prices and extreme weather can take a toll on your profits and peace of mind. Crop insurance is a powerful tool to not only protect your financial security, but give you confidence to market grain, invest in your operation, and provide for what matters most, your family. At Farmers Mutual Hail, we understand that, so we've created products that allow you to customize plans for up to 95% coverage. It's time to rethink your crop insurance and choose FMH, America's Crop Insurance Company, to protect your livelihood. Visit connect.fmh.com today.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op. Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. February milk down 21 to 1569. March down 15 to 1618. April down 19 to 1689. May down 16 at 1757. Triple-digit gains in the live and feeder cattle markets today. Some of the cold weather was limiting weight gain. That could limit supply. Weakness in the grain markets also helping to support live and feeder cattle markets. Hog markets mostly lower, however, as the trade continues to hit resistance levels, and that has led to a general sell-off in hogs today. February live cattle up $1.70 to $173.07. January feeder cattle up $1 to $227.57. February hogs down $1.65 to $70.25. Chicago Board of Trade. Corn markets are moving mostly lower. Soybeans are mixed today. Now some strength in the dollar, also some profit taking, and also some benign weather, especially in South America, helping to pressure corn and beans. Wheat markets lower due to the weakness in the rest of the grain complex and that strength in the dollar. March corn down 3.25 to 443.75. New crop down 4.25 to 477.5. March beans up 1 to 1225.25, but new crop down 2.25 to 1199.25. March wheat in Chicago down 15.5 to 580.5.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk. Boy, howdy, things are getting exciting now. We're up an entire degree here in Kansas City. We're at an even 3 degrees Fahrenheit here. Your pal Davis Michelson here behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk. Chip will be back tomorrow morning. Don't worry about it. In the meantime, let's talk with Brett Waltz from BAM WX. Brett, we missed you yesterday because of the holiday. We're super glad that you're willing to take some time with us today. Let's have a little extended chat about the weather, shall we? What say?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you all having me on, and it's certainly weather that is worth talking about in terms of this crazy cold shot that we've been getting. Record-breaking cold all across the central U.S. the past couple days.
Yeah, man, it's been rough. It feels like maybe we're kind of at the nearing the end of this little cold snap here. Is that the case, or is this just sort of hope misplaced?
This is the worst of it. So the worst of it is getting past really after today. But I will say there's a reinforcing shot of some cold that's going to come back around as we see a storm system move through the Ohio Valley Friday. Behind that into Saturday morning, it's another really cold morning, dangerous cold again, I would say, Saturday morning. I wouldn't be shocked if some lows got back down into the negative teens across parts of Iowa, eastern Nebraska, South Dakota. So it's not quite over yet. I do think some of the worst of it, kind of the combination of the cold and the wind, is past, though.
So when you talk about a potential return below zero into the double digits below, can you throw a fence around that area? What specific area are you talking about where we need to watch out for that?
Yeah, we're looking specifically at really the entirety of the Dakotas, Minnesota, the eastern half of Nebraska, the entirety of Iowa, and then even down into parts of northern Missouri and far western portions of Illinois. That's kind of the area that's going to take the brunt of it as we work into this weekend.
But cold temperatures just on their own, I think I heard you say not a whole lot of concern about wind or precipitation to accompany this particular little cold spate.
Yeah, the wind certainly, I mean, last week's system was an anomaly just in terms of the wind field that was with it. It was a combination of a really strong low pressure system, and then with that you get the wind. And so it's not going to be quite as intense with this next front that moves through. Now, I do think that we need to watch for maybe some snow threats. Again, it's not anything to the extent of as what some areas saw last week, but what I would call a clipper system that kind of originates out of Saskatchewan that's going to work through Thursday and into Friday that could drop some light accumulations across especially western and southern South Dakota, Nebraska, into the southern half of Iowa, and then maybe a better chance of snow in the Ohio Valley, Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio Thursday night into Friday.
It seems like there's an awful lot of snow out there this year, man.
Yeah, you know, it's a little deceiving, though, I'd say, because December was quiet. December was a pretty quiet month, and it's really ramped up as we've started out the new year. But I will say, there, if you're sick of the cold, you're sick of the snow, there is some hope that I think that as we work into next week, the pattern really starts to get more mild again, above normal temperatures returning.
Okay, very good, very good. So the severe weather forecast is there's nothing necessarily coming up right now as far as storms go. Let's go to South America just a little bit. What's their story down there currently? How do you like their weather setup?
Yeah, so there has been some rains over the past couple of weeks into 2024 that has helped. This next 7 days, I wouldn't say it is particularly wet, especially in Mato Grosso. That's an area that over the next 7 days is a little bit drier as a whole. I do think that far eastern Brazil and into northeastern parts of Argentina, that's an area coming up that can see some timely rains. And I'm looking out into the extended range, kind of that week two time frame, as we work really the last 7 to 10 days of the month of January. Data right now is rather aggressive with precipitation across central Brazil and that Mato Grosso area again. However, looking at how things have rolled forward for this upcoming period, we're concerned that maybe data is too aggressive with rains at this distance, that maybe data could roll forward a little bit drier. And so it's not as bad maybe as what it was a month or so ago, but I still wouldn't say that it's consistently good with above normal moisture in that particular region.
Drier and perhaps hotter at the same time?
Yeah, I do think that some of that heat can come back as well. I think that there is the potential. And again, if I kind of narrow down the area, it's really especially central Brazil and Mato Grosso over the next 10 days that are going to see kind of the core of the heat. Not too warm for Argentina and southeastern Brazil, though. That's an area that gets some rain, and it's not terribly hot.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about sea surface temperatures. A lot of talk about the transition from La Nina to El Nino. I guess I don't need to, but I don't have a real good handle on where we are along that continuum right now, other than we had been working to make a transition, and now here we've got this super ultra cold weather. Is this related at all? Is there anything to be any knowledge to be gained from this here when it comes to the Niños?
Yeah, no, I think that's a fantastic question. I would say that this cold blast is almost entirely related to what's going on over the pole, which is the polar vortex. We had a split that happens only every couple of years. It's not super common. And even when it does happen, it doesn't always split those cold pieces of the polar vortex over the United States. It did in this case, which is why we got so cold. But I will say that in El Nino years, like we're dealing with right now, that does happen more frequently. So you can tie that back into maybe the stronger El Nino state a little bit. I think that this El Nino state is really going to have a big factor on what's going to happen into spring and into planting season across the U.S. It's really key, I would say, the next 2 or 3 weeks, because typically we start to get some weakening of El Nino this time of the year. It kind of slowly starts to wane. if we can see some weakening, that would increase the odds that we go into more of a neutral state as we work into the spring and early summer, which can lead to, especially across the eastern portions of the Ag Belt, some drier threats as we end the planting season and start the growing season. However, if over the next 2 or 3 weeks we stay a little bit steadier with our El Nino state, typically those are wetter springs. You think back to a couple of wetter springs, like 2019 is a recent one. That's probably an extreme example, but that was a year that held on to El Nino longer, and it was a very wet spring and into early summer. So that's a key thing that we need to watch the next couple of weeks leading up to our planting forecast.
How is the European forecast look over there? We saw them, it was terrible cold, and then they didn't have enough nat gas to keep everybody warm and all that sort of stuff. What's the European winter shaping up like?
Yeah, for sure. So they kind of started out the season similarly with, or I should say actually a little bit colder than we did, because they had that high pressure out there near Greenland. And when that tends to happen, you actually get a little bit colder. We didn't quite get the benefits from that until more recently. And so upcoming, that feature is actually going away. So they're going to be a little bit warmer. In fact, some pretty notable warmth as we work over the next 2 weeks, and especially as we work towards the end of January. But similar to the United States, I think that there can be a transition back to some colder weather sometime late the first week of February, probably more into the second week of February. We're rather lined up over the next several weeks, North America and Europe, in terms of what the impacts are going to be. We're going to be warmer in January in the U.S., going to be warmer in Europe to end January in the U.S. And I think a similar transition back to some cooler weather possible as we work into the early to mid part of February.
One of the big concerns is, well, two big concerns, really, and it goes back to moisture, moisture, moisture. We're worried about the Big Muddy. We're worried about the Mississippi River, I think a little less so than we were at one point. But then, of course, there's the soil moisture that we desperately need to have recharged in certain areas. We look at the Eastern Belt last growing season. You know, we had Brian Grady out there on Crop Tour saying, well, this, it had a better start because it started out with some subsoil moisture. Brett, moisture onto frozen ground doesn't necessarily help us all that much to recharge our soil moisture. Can we get the timing right to thaw the soil in just the right time so it'll soak up just the right amount of moisture at just the right time? The river is refilled and everybody's happy. Is there anything like that in your forecast for spring?
Yeah, so I actually think a little bit of help from that, because it's really going to warm up to end January. There could be some melting. It's probably not going to completely melt, but little bit of melting to end January and some more precipitation. But as we work into late spring, I do think that there's the potential, and I would say especially for the plains, that particular region into March and April, that's an area that I think can be a little bit more active to start out spring and into the planting season to kind of recharge some of that soil moisture. I think that's an area that can maybe start out a little bit colder in March, but then quickly transition to a little bit warmer and more active, which can help recharge things. That's an area that I'm a little bit more confident about. Eastern Ag Belt, that's an area that I'm concerned could stay a little bit drier as we start out the planting season this year.
Interesting. Before I cut you loose, Brett, where do we get more information from BAMWX?
Yeah, head over to BAMWX.com. We actually have a little pop-up there. You can get a free sample of our long-range forecast that we put out yesterday discussing the pattern over the next several weeks. And be on the lookout. We'll talk about it here in a few weeks. But our planting season webinar discussing that forecast that we touched on a little bit will be towards the end of February.
Oh, that's a good tease, that planting season webinar. Brett, I think I was involved in one of those a few years ago. This is a really great outlook for the planting season that BAM puts together every year. You guys do such a fantastic job. Thanks for spending some extra time with us this week, Brett. We really appreciate you, buddy.
Yep, thank you.
And we will hear more from Brett Waltz and the good folks at BAMWX as we get closer to that webinar that they've got coming up. On the other side of this break here, I've got his royal gymnast, Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy OG, to talk about the caucuses, to talk about the election cycle. Hey, let's talk about funding, too, because we can't just not talk about funding, right? AgriTalk?
With your choice of select sandwich, nugs, fries, and a drink, Wendy's $5 Biggie Bag is your go-to. Your nugget wingman. Your hot and crispy fry co-pilot.
Just like us. We're like the bag boys.
What?
Bag boys, bag boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we bring your food?
For a deal you can count on, bet on Biggie and choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Bag boys, bag boys.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Includes choice of JBC or crispy chicken sandwich with four-piece nugs, junior fry, and small soft drink. Third-party delivery pricing may be higher.
Don't miss out on limited-time appliance deals during the closeout event at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, save an extra $100 when you spend $999 or more on all major appliances. Hurry, these deals are too good to last long. Shop in-store or online today. Because Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid 1-4 through 1-24. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for details.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more Straight Talk. Now you can get a Walmart Plus membership, plus not pay for it, because it's included with Straight Talk wireless plans. You get free delivery with Walmart Plus, plus a Paramount Plus subscription included. Plus, you pay less for gas. That's a lot of pluses.
Only Straight Talk gives you unlimited 5G data and Walmart Plus included on select plans for free.
Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart.
Requires service on Gold or Platinum Unlimited. One offer per eligible account. Paramount Plus Essential Plan only. Separate registration required. Additional terms apply.
There I was, driving along, when I saw the corn laying down in the field, goosenecked again. Even though I tried everything, new traits, existing soil insecticides, every corn grower knows the hassle of gooseneck corn. But now there's Narisma Insecticide from BASF, a better, stronger in-furrow insecticide that controls corn rootworm and below-ground pests. Stand up for your corn with Narisma Insecticide. Ask your authorized BASF retailer about Narisma. And always read and follow label directions.
My whole identity had been wrapped up in being a soldier. To have that so violently ripped from me when I was wounded, I was lost for a very long time. When Wounded Warrior Project came into my life, being around the other warriors, people that had similar experiences that I did, it was a game changer for me. Having King join the group, that was the beginning of a really good friendship.
It's a good time.
I first heard about Wounded Warrior Project through CQ. And at first I was kind of like, I don't know if I qualify. But having been a part of it, it's kind of taught me that it's not just the wounds that you can see, but it's those that you can't.
When you do something like a peer support group with Wounded Warrior Project and come together from different walks of life, man, the growth is incredible. If not for Wounded Warrior Project, I really don't think that I'd be here today.
See how we help warriors combat stigma at woundedwarriorproject.org/combatstigma.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
I taught for 20 years until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
the best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. A chilly Tuesday morning, but it's getting warmer. A little warmer all the time. We're up to 4 degrees now. Kansas City. Hope you're inching toward zero and above wherever you may be. Lots of layers, folks. Lots of layers. Let me bring in Jim Wiesmeyer now. Pro Farmer Policy OG. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, Davis. Well, we have a 4 inches of snow, and that's like 20 or 25 inches in Iowa.
Yeah, that's significant there for D.C. Wow.
Well, they're not going to have any votes in the House as a result. They'll have activity, but we panic on anything more than 2 inches.
They'll have activity but not votes? Is that what you said?
Yeah, like the Rules Committee will meet. Yeah, the Rules Committee.
So business as usual.
They won't vote. Business as usual.
All right.
So, the Senate's going to vote. The Senate's going to vote today on that continuing resolution package, March 1 for USDA and other agencies, and March 8th, a continuing resolution for 80% of the other agencies and departments. And now I think the votes will be there in both chambers.
Okay. So in those votes, what are the odd issues out that may not get some funding there? What's left to clean up at that point?
Oh, well, you'll still have the border issues, and you'll have other things that are unresolved. But in parallel, Davis, what has not been given a lot of press, I know we've written about it at Pro Farmer, is a bipartisan $70 billion to $78 billion tax package, tax reform package that would be good for agriculture. It would get research and development extension, deductibility, some things on the Democrats like it because it would have child care tax credits, not as illustrative as they had in the during the pandemic. But this has momentum now, and I'm not going to rule it out being passed.
Excellent. Excellent. Wow. Okay. Well, Jim, the reason I wanted to have you on today, especially, I don't know anything about the caucuses, and I'm from Iowa. Dude, I was born there. I lived there for like 50 years, like half a century I was there. I still have no idea. We don't need to get into any of that. Just talk to us about the results. What did it yield for us, Jim?
Very impressive for Trump. It shows you that he is definitely he's the head of the Republican Party. He a record margin victory. He won 98 of the 99 Iowa counties and only lost Johnson County, I think, by one vote.
Wow. That's a coup in itself in Johnson County.
Absolutely. But it he had a great ground game, so he learned a lot from his prior endeavors in Iowa. So you have to give it to him and his crew. And he was quite conciliatory relative to Trump in his victory speech. He thanked his opponents, said they did a good job. So what does it mean? New Hampshire first primary is next Tuesday, a week from now. New Hampshire is different than Iowa. They have more independents. They're less homogenous. I think they'll have more crossovers. I think some more Democrats may come over to vote for a Republican. But it's going to be Nikki Haley's probably only chance remaining to make this a two-person race. She either has to win it or come very close to Trump, who's currently ahead in the polls, I think, by 5 to 6 percentage points in New Hampshire. I say that because the follow-on after New Hampshire is Nikki Haley's home state of South Carolina, but Trump is ahead in that state. So bottom line, it looks like Trump is going to be the Republican candidate. Now, there's some Democratic impacts here, too. No one will admit this publicly, but I think this is going to put pressure on some leaders in the Democratic Party outside of our President Biden to put pressure on him to eventually not run for president, because the fear is that if his numbers continue to go lower, not higher, the Republicans could garner a trifecta win, the White House, House, and Senate. Now, that's going to take a few months to gel, but I wouldn't rule it out.
From a listener, any thoughts on Trump's VP pick?
I don't think it'll be Vivek Ramaswamy. I think he's a cabinet choice if Trump is the next president. Kristi Noem is what most people are saying in this town. The bottom line on vice presidential.
South Dakota governors.
Yes, yeah. She knows agriculture. That's what I like. She's a cattle. So I always like a person who knows the livestock industry, because they're more balanced, because they know that a corn and a soybean producer, that's their best market. But a vice presidential candidate usually can only hurt you. They can't help you. One of the rare exceptions in my lifetime was Lyndon Johnson helping Kennedy become president.
Oh, yeah. One more from a listener here before we run out of time quickly, Jim.
Sure.
Entrance of a third party candidate, is that on your radar at all?
That's on my radar. I was at the American Soybean Association meeting last week in Florida, and that was a big topic to me. They want to know if Joe Manchin's going to run. He could be a formidable candidate in the so-called no labels party, so I would watch that. That would give truly independents or naysayers from both political parties a choice to have a protest vote, if you will. I don't think that they would be president, but watch Joe Manchin, whether or not he enters in the ring.
Isn't that interesting? And just really quickly, horribly low on time, what happens with the Haley DeSantis? Do they make perhaps one single ticket with Haley on top?
I just don't see it. I just don't see it. No.
Okay.
Don't
Fair
say
enough.
It. It's New Hampshire. She's got to win. I think DeSantis is through. I really do.
Excellent. Jim Wiesmeyer, thank you for your perspective this morning. Have a great week, buddy. We appreciate you. That's Pro Farmer Policy OG Jim Wiesmeyer here on AgriTalk. It's been a great show this morning. We've got Michelle Rook taking over the reins this afternoon. So for Big Apple Joe Stackler, Karen Bonert, Paul Schoeneg, Brett Waltz, and Jim Wiesmeyer, it's me, the handsome newsman on AgriTalk tomorrow morning. Senator Chuck Grassley and Chip Lorre host the Farmer Forum. Don't miss it. AgriTalk.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts, so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone. I went through it a while back. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is something called Testofen, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my...